How's everyone this morning? Have you experienced the cold weather? We thought summer had come, and the winter weather came to surprise us. We went out cycling yesterday morning, and for the first hour and a half, the computers were telling us it's below zero all the way. It's cold. But God is good. Let us pray. I'd like to pray again, because I really believe the Lord wants to speak to us today. And I want our hearts to just be prepared. Father, we just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your great love. And Lord, you want to encourage us today. And I just really pray that as your word of encouragement comes, Lord, will you bring enlightenment to our hearts and our minds, and that we would hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Lord, may we not just brush over what you are saying to us today, but may your words go deep. Because you created the heavens and the earth through speaking your word. And even today, Lord, you're creating life through speaking your word and bringing us to a fullness in Christ. And I ask, Lord, every one of us would be impacted by you and your word today. Open up our hearts to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. So, Holy Spirit, we hand every matter over to you now and ask that, Lord, that you would speak so clearly to every one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had opportunity this week. I went away for 3 nights, 4 days to go and spend some time with the Lord. And it's a wonderful time. And thank you for giving me that privilege, is that trying to hear God, because sometimes hearing God is not so easy in the busyness that we're living in, and to hear for direction from us and where God is taking us. And I sat down to prepare for this morning. And it's been in my heart, and we are going to cover that. I want to deal with the parables that are in the Gospel of Luke. And I just said to the Lord, I'd like to do that. And it was like a tussle game between the Lord and I. And he said, no, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to do something different today. And I just sensed God wanted to write us a letter. So I themed it today, a letter from the Lord. And I want to just say, when God speaks in this regard, is that there's an element of prophetic, and when it comes to the prophetic, we are called to judge the prophetic. We've got to be hearing what the Spirit of God is actually saying, and not everything's for everyone, but when you hear what the Spirit of God is saying, please write it down and do what the Spirit of God is telling you to do, because you see, God speaks, but do we obey? I think that's an important thing. So often when we hear the voice of God, it's an incredible experience to hear when God is actually speaking. But if that doesn't transition into an outworking of faith and deeds, what does it mean? It's meaningless. And I want to encourage you today, as I believe that God is actually speaking to us. We've got some good friends that are in Southeast Asia in an area called Penang, and they send us a letter every month just to keep us all their supporters of in prayer, what's actually happening in their lives. And I just thought, yeah, these people are keeping us informed. And I think sometimes we need to be hearing from the Holy Spirit what he wants to say to us. And this hasn't happened often in my life. I think this is the second time that God's actually given me something like this for the church. It happened once in a leaders' meeting. So this is a second time. And I come with nervousness and intrepidation, because I know that these things are not easy things to bring forward. But I come in obedience to the Lord today to share this with you. We see in the book of Revelations, when God actually spoke to the seven churches, God came firstly, the Lord spoke to them firstly with encouragement. And he comes to encourage us first. But you know, God also doesn't mince his words. When he speaks to us, he also brings correction. So there's balance. You see, with a parent, as you parent your children, you're always encouraging them. But there are times when there needs to be correction, and there's times even when there needs to be rebuke. And that's not often, but there needs to be that element. The Lord always balances. And why does the Lord do that? Because he's always taking us further in the Spirit where he wants us to go. So I really believe that God wants to encourage us today and take us deeper and further. And the injunction that comes in the Scripture in Revelations, it says there, let's be hearing what the Spirit of God is actually saying to you today. So each of you have the Spirit of God, and I would like you, please, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So while I was away on the Tuesday, I'm sitting and I'm waiting before the Lord, and I just sensed the Lord. I was down at the Vol Dam, And I just sense the Lord just saying to me is, get in your car and drive down towards Denaysville. So I drove down to Denaysville and drove around there. And nothing much was happening. And it was a windy and it was a cold day. And then I'm driving back past the dam wall, the Vaal Dam wall. And the Lord says very clearly into my heart, He says, do you want to be a dam or a river? And I really believe that's an instruction or question that God wants to bring to us as a church as we gather before Him. And He wants to ask us, are we a dam or a river? And what do we mean by that? A dam has a purpose and it's all good to collect water, and we know it is like a reservoir and it provides, and if we don't have a dam, we don't have provision of water here. But the things of the kingdom are very different. God actually doesn't build dams in our lives, He builds rivers. And I really want to ask, and I ask myself, and I ask every one of you, are you a dam for God or are you a river? Because we have received to give. And we've got to learn that skill in life as we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do we become a river? That we become a spring, that life actually flows through us. And the scripture that Jesus gives to us is in John chapter 7, verse 38. And I read from the Amplified. He who believes in me, who cleaves and trusts and relies in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. You have deposited within you the river of God, the fountain of God within you. And I ask the question, do we have a testimony of the life of God within us? I know Jesus, when He spoke to the Samaritan woman, anyone thirsty, come to me and you'll not thirst again. But the issue of not thirsting again is we've got to be giving and we've got to be releasing. And God wants us all to be representatives and ambassadors of Him to pour out rivers of living water. And I really believe that what God is doing amongst us, we are not living for ourselves here. Even though we gather here on a Sunday morning, we come to worship the Lord and we have fellowship with one another, but we are here living for those out there. The Lord loves the lost, and you are the only means that He can use to reach our community when you go and touch them with the life of God. And the greatest way to impact them, yes, is through the love of God. And I want to encourage you, this river of life that goes, determined to love those around you. And loving those is, yes, to pray for them, is to lay hands upon them, but also just to come and carry the burdens, as we've just been encouraged, our visitation team that wants to get out there and to bring the life of God. We need to be caring for those out there and amongst us. And as that starts to play out, this river of life starts to become a reality, and we start to bear fruit. And it might sound like it's not an important thing, but we have to measure our lives by our outflow. If you're just receiving, it's not good enough. God wants us to be giving. And I want to encourage you, every one of you has an area of influence, and every one of you needs to represent the Lord in your workplace, wherever you find yourself, and God will give you that influence. Moms, it's with your children, it's with those other moms, it's the work in your workplace as you deal with and work with people. It's not always about the results that you receive from financial purposes, it's the people that God's put across your path. And I want to encourage you, the Lord's challenging us today, do you want to be a dam or a river? The choice is yours. But I want to trust that we will all be rivers of God and allowing God to flow through us. And then I just sensed, as I waited upon the Lord, the letter, God wanted to speak to us intimately and talk to different areas in the life of the church. And again, I say this is, in a sense, the prophetic, and the prophetic must always be judged and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. So firstly, I want to deal with those who responded to the call of God last week when Derek and them were ministering here, those who came to the front who said that they have a calling on their life. And I wanted to just say, hear what the Spirit of God says to you. If you were one of those last week, hear what the Lord is saying to you. Prepare yourself, work with the Holy Spirit so you can be appointed to the task I've set aside for you. Do not run ahead of me. Don't slacken behind me. Keep in step with me. We must work together. So if there's a calling upon your life, I want to encourage you, work together with the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to prepare you. You know, I look at my own life. When I came to know the Lord as a 16-year-old, I really didn't know the things of the Lord, and it was only later in my early 20s when things started to work out. But I didn't land up in this role without going a road of preparation. And so often we want to be used by God, but we must be used by God where we are. And God prepares us for the outworking of His grace. And not everyone's called to be a pastor, but everyone is called, but God needs to appoint you at the right time. And I want to suggest is if God has put that upon your heart, go and work with God the Holy Spirit to prepare you. It's like, why are some not getting married? And this is my perception at the end of the day, because God's got to prepare you to be a wife or to be a husband. And I took a long time. Hey, Nikki. He had some working to do in my life. But the reality is God's got to prepare us, because there's a sense of maturity that's got to come. God doesn't throw us into things that He hasn't equipped us for. So, you know, there's a principle in business, the Peter's principle, where people get promoted to their incompetence. God doesn't want to do that. God wants to prepare you that actually when you get into that role that He's equipped you, and then you're able and He enables you with His ability, and you've got the wisdom to deal with the matters. So I want to encourage you, God wants us to be promoted, but work with Him so He can promote you at the right time. Then for all of us, the saints, I just sense this from the Lord. You have one life to live. Make it count for the kingdom of God. Finish strong and go and make disciples of me. I think that's quite an injunction, is that God said, finish strong. That's not how you start, it's how you end. And then make disciples. Are you duplicating Christ? Who are you discipling? Who is coming across your path that you've taken time, that you can raise up to be a follower of Christ? For families, I just sense nurture prayer and scripture reading, make Jesus and His word the center, and learn to forgive. You know, in families, we have disagreements, and so often in the families, we don't learn to forgive. And I want to encourage you, learn to forgive in your families. Make sure the sun doesn't go down before you've dealt with issues. And every family has these things, and God's given us an incredible way to get out of that, to forgive. And then for young families, I just sense the Lord saying, your children are first mine. Have you given them to me? Let me take ownership for their lives, and you take responsibility to steward them. And I think that's a key thing, is that our children are not our own. They belong to the Lord. We are to be good stewards of our children. And then to the elders, I just want to encourage you. The Lord just put in my heart here, you have worked hard on your unity. I'm well pleased, yet I desire an increase in your prayer life. You need to be calling heaven to earth. Fulfill your role as shepherds, expand and release. And I will talk to the guys and the ladies in the elders meeting. We will discuss more about that. To the hosting, which is all of us, I just sense the Lord say, well done. Continue to smile and enjoy serving others. The rewards are great. And let me tell you, when you go into a restaurant and you get bad service, even though the food is good, you don't go back. Am I right? Same as in the life of the church. We are here hosting people. We've got to practice hospitality. And I just sense the Lord, well done. Keep on smiling. To the youth, I know they've gone to the back. Enjoy your youth. Don't be childish, but be childlike, because it is great value. And learn to put down the flesh and put on Christ. How often we still got to learn that, even as we are a bit older. The worship team, I want to encourage the worship team, and we understand the great sacrifices you make. But remember, this is a calling, and that God sets you aside and He equips you to do that. I just sense the Lord saying to you, remain humble and don't get into pride. Do as the Holy Spirit leads you. Follow His leading. Be disciplined. And then I just sense the Lord just wanted to speak to you firmly. He says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Don't isolate yourselves from the whole. Remember that you're not just a team by yourself, you're part of the whole. Don't just do things in isolation. Then for the outreach group, the peddlers on the way, Quinton and your team, I just sense the Lord say, reach out to others, be friends to others, and be a witness of me. Practice hospitality. I believe, Quinton, the Lord wants to increase that group. It will have great influence and bring people to the Lord. Grandparents, have you imparted the ways of the kingdom to your children and your grandchildren? The Lord's asking you that question. Do not only leave them a monetary inheritance, but leave them a legacy of me and my word. I just want to encourage you, grandparents. God has made such an incredible deposit in your life, but have you taken time to get your grandchildren, your children, to share what God has deposited in your life? And you know, that can be carried forward to the next generation, if you would take time to do that. Don't be ashamed to do that. Maybe you don't have time to do that, but maybe you need to write them a letter and share the thing. Why must it be in your last will and testament? Why don't you do that today? Allow God to share those with you. The elderly, you have run the race, but you don't have the crown of righteousness as yet. Trust me, and as you did in your youth, trust me in your elderly years. I the elderly years are not easy, but God is there with the elderly also. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. For our wives, our precious wives, I just sense the Lord saying to you, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Sleep well with not a care in the world when you've cast your cares upon him. Give your children to me. Do not only feed them food and clothe them with clothes, but feed them the word and clothe them with me. Find your confidence first in me and build with your husbands as equal partners. To employers, I just sense the Lord, I'm going to inspect your books. Are you paying your workers a fair wage? If not, adjust. Hear me and do what is right. Do not exploit others. Employees, which is most of us, don't just work for a wage or a salary. Work as unto me. Serve me in your workplace. Do not work to rule. Go the extra mile. Let my spirit guide you. Work is not just work. It is serving me and giving glory to me. Tell your fellow workers about me. Pray for them daily. I may lead you to start a prayer meeting in your workplace. For the singles, put your trust in me. I am your very life. Don't allow loneliness to rob you. Turn your fear into praise, and I will fill your heart and your life. Prepare yourselves for me and be the best follower of me. To the unmarried, marriage is not for everyone. Don't make it your idol. If you desire it, it is not wrong. But do not marry outside of Christ. Do not be unequally yoked. If other person doesn't love me more than you, be wary. To all of us, again, be wise, be godly, be humble, be loving, be full of Christ, be mature in Christ, walk in the Spirit, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all rage and bitterness. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And then for the life groups, raise up leaders, multiply, and I will add to your number. My desire is for all of you to have fellowship with one another. You were not created to be isolated. There is unity and strength in togetherness. Gather together, plan your life, and make it the sacrifice. The rewards are great. Husbands, you've been given the gift of marriage. Ask me to teach you how to husband your wife. This is good, so it will go well with your soul. Selfishness is your enemy. Lay down your life for your beloved wife. Work together with her. She is your helper, suitable for you. The demonized and possessed, I don't know why the Lord put that on my heart. Get delivered in my name. Be set free. Close the door on the enemy. Walk in your freedom in me. You ask the question, are you demonized? You can measure it by the fruit in your life. There must be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For this nation, continue to pray for the peoples of your nation. Pray that they will repent and turn to God and see the sin revealed in their hearts. Pray that the hearts of the nation will not become hardened and proud. To the leadership group, to the deacons, the leaders, and the potential leaders, Join arms, work together. Do not do anything on your own. Always be accountable. Do not set up your own ministry. Do all together with those who have oversight over you. They will protect you. Their covering is essential because I've placed them in authority over my body in this place. And then Revelation 2 verse 7, it says, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So I submit that to you, what I really just sense the Lord just saying to us, to encourage us. But now what I wanted to do, as I was waiting upon the Lord this morning, I want us to take time to wait upon the Lord. And this portion of Scripture came to me from Psalm 37, verse 1 to 7. And I read it to you. Do not worry about the wicked or any of those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn and justice your cause will shine like the new day's sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Do not worry about evil people who prosper and fret about their wicked schemes. The Lord is for you. I like the worship team to just come up to the front, and we're just going to take time, and I want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity as He's been speaking to us, but especially this verse 7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. I want us to be still in the presence of God. I believe God is here, and we're going to wait patiently for Him to act, and if He wants to continue to speak to us, if He wants to minister to us, I don't know what He's going to say to us, but I want to give God the Holy Spirit an opportunity. And I'm asking you not to dial out now. I want you to participate. This is about you and the Lord. We've worshipped the Lord. And I believe God wants to speak to us. And I've come just trusting. And I would like you to trust and to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. It's a time to interact. And the scripture came to me also in Kings. Elijah was before the Lord, and he was talking to God, and then God was just saying to him how He actually spoke to him. In verse 1 Kings 10, I read from verse 11, I read, go and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast, the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And I really believe there are many manifestations that can come by, but God comes with the sound of a gentle whisper. And may, as we just set time aside for the Holy Spirit to minister Christ to us, may we hear the gentle whisper of the Spirit. So I'm asking you to participate with me to hear what the Spirit of God. I know this is awkward, and maybe you're not used to this, and it's not traditional to do this, but as the music plays in the background, we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. And if He's been speaking to you already and wants to continue to speak, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit through the gifts to operate, and I just want to just trust Him. So as we just give this time to the Lord, let's be open to what the Spirit of God is going to do with us. Lord, we just thank You that You are honored in this place today. Thank You for what You've spoken to us with those injunctions to us, and thank You for Your encouragement. But Lord, as we set this time aside, it's not the traditional thing to do, but we want to just be still before You as Your presence is here. And we want to wait upon You for what You want to do in our midst. We want to give You all the praise and all the glory that You deserve. And Father, we ask that there would be a dimension of You that you would release amongst us today. Lord, the manifestation, I believe, the greatest we can have is your very presence. And I know your people love you, Lord, and I intercede for them today. But Lord, they need to hear your voice. And I don't know where everyone is today and what decisions they need to make and whatever they're facing. All of us, Lord, are going through this road and this journey of following you, and we need to hear what you are saying to us. I know you speak to us through your word and bring such clarity to our lives, but I just do ask this morning, as we humble ourselves before you and we put you in your rightful place, as we've learnt on Wednesday evenings, to worship you in spirit and truth and to praise you. May just something of your very presence, your dynamic as the living God, come and open up our lives to see you. Just sense in my heart is that God is taking us as a people into a new dimension, a fresh dimension of the outworking of His Spirit. But that takes a consecration, and that takes a humbling of our hearts. As we humble ourselves before the Lord, He will lift us up, and it's something that God can't do in our hearts. God represents Himself, and He brings His great love before us. He brings His revelation of His word. But we have control of our hearts. And my understanding from the scriptures is that when we humble our hearts before the Lord, He lifts us up. And I want to encourage us as God's people here today, gathered here in the name of Jesus, I want to ask you to humble yourself before your Lord and your Savior. And so often there are things in this world that come and distract us, and we draw away from the Lord. He doesn't draw away from us. And if we would humble ourselves, it's a choice in our hearts. And you say, well, I am humble, but I want to just say, just reiterate it. I'm not trying to push you into anything, but I just want to encourage you, let's humble ourselves before our God. Thank you, Lord.
Clothed in majesty, and all the earth rejoices, all the earth rejoices. He wraps Himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. He trembles at His voice, trembles at His voice. With me, how great is our God.
Waiting on the Lord. I just feel He's been speaking to a lot of us for a while. Listen to what the Lord's saying. It's not only now, it's not only this moment, but what has the Lord been saying to you these past months that you know He's been pressing on your heart? And I know that He's been calling us to a place of a deeper walk with Him as far as righteousness goes, as far as holiness goes, and as far as separation goes. God is calling us to a place where we are committed, where we put aside those things that aren't of Him. And I believe God's been testing us over the last few months. And as we remember in the old covenant, when God gave the different tribes, the different areas, He gave them different areas. And when they went into those areas, they had to drive out the nations that were in possession of those areas, and they had to drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites. But some of the tribes couldn't drive them out and never drove them out. And they mixed with those nations and they got contaminated and they took after their idols. And the Lord said to them, I didn't drive out those nations before you to test you, to see if you would worship me, to see if you would praise me, to see if you would keep your eyes on me. And I believe God is saying, are your eyes fixed on Him? Or have you allowed the idols, the things of this world, the pleasures and the pressures to mix into your walk and your holiness and your righteousness call that God has separated us to walk? So check your hearts. And if you feel there's something that you need to separate, if there's something that you believe that you've mixed in your walk with God, that you know that you need to drive out of your life. Because when they did it, God gave them power to go and drive that out of their land. What do you need to drive out of your life? What do you need to drive out of your heart that the Lord has left there and you've taken it on instead of separated and consecrated and have victory over it? So if you know that that is something, come forward so we can pray with you, because when you do, God brings you victory in that area that you can drive that out so that you can have peace and rest in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you that you're encouraging us to be separated from this world. We belong to you and belong to your kingdom. Sometimes our light hasn't been as bright as it should be because we don't reflect Christ. And Lord, as we just be encouraged through Craig, if there be any idols in our lives, if there be aspects that has taken away our focus off you, Holy Spirit, will you reveal those things to us, not in condemnation, but to draw us closer to you, to a depth of your holiness, to a depth of reverence of who you are. That, Lord, that we can continually walk in the knowing of your presence. That we could know in our hearts the very presence of God at all times. Lord, we just open up our lives to you because, Lord, we are not perfect. And Lord, we do walk astray and we do follow our own ways and we're not all wise. But Lord, as a body, we come before you and as we humble ourselves before you, Father, we ask that you'll be merciful to us. And will you reveal your grace to us, Lord, that we can walk in your ways. And we can walk in the understanding of what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. And that truly, Lord, that your light can shine through us and that we can be have a testimony of Jesus in our lives. So Father, in our weakness we come before you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us, Lord. Just very strong. I know there's contributions coming, but from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 talks about Isaiah sitting in the presence of God, and the Godhead is actually talking amongst themselves, and they're having a conversation. And Isaiah is eavesdropping and he hears what God is actually saying. It is Isaiah 6 from verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded and said, "Here I am, send me." And I believe there's a conversation in the throne room of grace here this morning. And God is wanting us to go out and to represent Him and to tell the lost and those that are dying of their sin, their sickness and their disease. The Lord said, "Who shall I send and who shall go for us?" And I believe God wants to send us. He has sent us through the Great Commission. But will we go? Will we go and tell a dark and dying world, not in condemnation, but the love of God, and that Jesus has paid the price for their sin and their redemption? Will you go? Will you tell people about Jesus and about the good news of Christ? Will you tell your family members? Will you tell your work colleagues? Will you tell your children? Will you tell those that have hurt you of the love of God? Even though they might persecute you, will you tell them of this great love, of this God that loves them and has redeemed them, and bring them to a place where they can confess Jesus as Lord and Savior over their lives? The question is, will you go? Will you say to the Lord, "Here I am, send me"? And I'd like us to respond in our hearts. If that's you today and you want to be respond to God and you'd like to go, I'd like you to respond in your hearts to Him and say, "Lord, here I am, send me." Quentin.
I'm not fully understanding of everything I'm going to share with you, but I really just sense that it's actually quite important. Brigitte brought something to the prayer meeting this morning. Maybe she'll have to share it. But she shared something about trumpets, and that the trumpets are used to signal things. This week, for some strange reason, I was talking to someone and mentioned that prophecy that some of you might have heard of, that Mark mentioned earlier in the year, about the lady who was 90 years old in Valdez in Norway. And she shared about a prophecy that was put away for nearly 50 years. And some of those things are coming to pass now. And so I remembered to send it to her, and I actually just sent it to her just as the meeting started. And something caught my eye, that there was an update about things that have happened in relation to this prophecy, and about things that are being fulfilled. So what I was just reading was, and then I realized it's actually happening tomorrow, is tomorrow there's a eclipse that's only visible in the USA. And there's a lot of references around that the eclipse in biblical times was used as God signaling a time for forgiveness and repentance. The other significant thing is that tomorrow, I also learned, is that it's the first day of the month of Elul in the Jewish calendar, which is the month of forgiveness and repentance. And that God works in days of 40s. And if you take 40 days from tomorrow, it lands on the day of Yom Kippur, the most important day in the Jewish calendar, which is the Day of Atonement. And I have a sense that God is saying that this about the prophecy being a signal towards the end times, and particularly that what Brigitte shared about the trumpet, is that when we blow a trumpet, we're not actually worrying about how people hear it or what they hear or whether they'll be offended. We're just supposed to blow it. If the trumpet is a warning, people can listen or they don't listen. And it's up to them how they respond. But if God has given us the breath to blow the trumpet, we have to blow it, which is why I got up to come and share this. Because I have a sense that, as I think Mark will share that word or can remind us of it, that story of someone who's an angel got in the person's car. You remember the one? And they held the hand to the person's ear, and it says, as close as my hand is to your ear is the coming of the Lord. So I think these things are quite significant. As I said, I don't understand all of them, but you can go and do the reading yourself. But I have a sense that the symbolism of this eclipse, and there has never been another one like it in the US back to the year 436, and there won't be another one until the year 2316, when we're all long gone. And the fact that it ties in with the Jewish calendar, and God is really uses the Jewish calendar to speak to us, and it's happening on the first day of the month of Elul, the month of forgiveness. And when Nineveh was spoken to, they were given a chance to repent, which wasn't something I read. It was something I was thinking of, which I feel God might be using here. And Jonah was the one who was bringing that message, and Nineveh repented. Jonah was the trumpet blower in that sense. So I'll just leave that with you.
I just feel that ties up with very much what Mark is saying. I was reading in Samuel after the impact on Wednesday, and just was reading about David actually when he went to kill Goliath. And the interesting thing was that he made himself available to God. Because he knew who God was. Because he knew who God was, he made himself available. And when he made himself available, in the face of intimidation, right in the face of the intimidation, he knew his God. And the Lord said to him, it is my battle. You know my name, and it's my name that will accomplish the mission that I needed. And so I just feel that today as well here in this whole thing of being present in the presence of the Lord, being still and available, being still and available. Do not be intimidated by whatever the issues are around. If we're available to blow the trumpet, whether that means that we need to forgive, whether that means we need to praise, whether that means we need to pray, whatever it is that the Lord requires of us, are we available? Are we available to do what the Lord requires of us in the midst and in the face of any intimidation? Because the battle is the Lord's, and it is His name that will accomplish the purposes that He requires.
What Judy just shared, one of the other 40 days that I also didn't know about was that Goliath taunted the Israelites for 40 days, and that's when David came and slayed Goliath. And this whole thing is around what Mark was saying earlier, is about forgiveness and repentance. That 40 days is for repentance. And when we get to the Day of Atonement, that's when we actually have the healing.
If you do have something from the Lord to encourage us.
I just saw a picture earlier on of people that have walked through doors, many doors in their lives. And some of the doors have been really hard to go through. And then I had a sense of people who had gone through a door and were happy to go through it, but were now actually not sure where to go from here. And they were almost in a gray area, a place of indecision, but also a place where they've been offended, and it's kept them trapped in that place. And just the words that have been coming through, I've been in a similar place myself, and I've had a battle to get out of that place, and it was hard for me, because when we've been offended, we don't want to see that we've also had a part to play in it. And that we have to forgive to get out of that place. We have to take back that ground that was stolen from us, as it were. But we also have to mature. And we have to see that God is faithful, even when things have come our way that didn't seem right or fair. That's how God matures us. And that's how we find Him in that hard place. And so I just feel that the Lord is wanting us to get out of that gray place today, whatever that place is. If it's confusion, if it's a place because we've been offended, if it's a place of insecurity, if it's a place where we're actually sulking because we feel God should have done something and He didn't come through in the way that we wanted Him to, or if others have let us down, have we condemned? Because if we've condemned, we will be kept in that place. And until we released that person from what they've done to us.
I've also been led to the book of Samuel about David and this portion where God says, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to His voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering of fat of rams." What is the opposite of obedience? Disobedience? No. God calls it rebellion. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols. So what Mark has been saying, if the Lord has been speaking to you and you know in your heart of hearts the things that He wants you to actually do for months, perhaps years now, perhaps it's time to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me, forgive us for our stubbornness, for our rebellion," because we acknowledge that obedience is far better than anything else we can give you. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will do what I command you. You will obey my commands." So I pray that you would listen to Him today, and let's get right with God.
Are we hearing what the Holy Spirit is encouraging us? I just think we need to be wise. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, and it's soon, but there's a gap between Him coming and Him returning, and there's a lot of work to be done. And God wants to use every one of us. And the message that was in the book of Acts when they preached the gospel was repent and turn back to God. And we've got to have that message out there. It's a message that's not preached anymore. Because we'll just come to Jesus and we will, you'll be blessings in your life. But the problem is sin. And people have to repent, and we have to repent. And repentance is actually turning our ways around and 180 degrees and follow Jesus and then turn to God. And maybe you here today, and it's not an issue of repentance, but it is an issue of turning back to God in your life. And maybe you've been running your own life and doing your own thing, and God's calling you to a closer walk with Him, this consecration, this humbleness. And maybe you're looking at me and thinking, oh, I've heard this before. But maybe this is your day. This is your day to be serious with God and to reevaluate your life. And maybe it won't transpire here now, but maybe when you go home and you actually start to deal with this matter before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, use me, your life will be transformed. And how do you transform your life? As we've just heard, is obedience. You do what the Lord calls you to do. And you can't just walk out of here if it's truly God's called you to obedience and go and live your own life again. You've got to be hearing what the Spirit of God is calling you to do. And maybe it's a disciplined lifestyle to have a quiet time. How many of you are having quiet times? How many of you are setting time aside to read the Scriptures? Because if you're not reading the Scriptures, I'm telling you now, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. I'm talking to the young people too. You're not immune to this whole thing. You can't just live your own life. We've got to be hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. And I believe that's that consecration. God's calling us closer to Him. We're not looking for your attendance. God's looking for your obedience. And I want to encourage you with that. And take stock of your life. And you know, the Scripture is very clear that God loves us dearly. And you are loved. And God's not out here to put a stick out and to bash you. He's here to encourage you and to draw closer to Him, because the rewards are so great. The rewards are so great. So I'm asking you as you go home to look at your lives and respond in Isaiah 6. Say, Lord, what do you require of me? Ask specifically, and it might be just to get together with your family and pray and lead them back to the fullness of Christ. And where your family is getting distracted, draw them back to the Lord. Because the times are perilous. And we look at the world today and it's a mess. But we must draw closer to God in this time. Because as things get difficult out there, we need to be closer to the Lord. And we need Him to lead us and guide us in these things. And please, just hear my heart. Don't go out today and nothing transpired in your heart. I really want to just trust God that as you've made yourself available to Him, do what He tells you to do. Every one of you are precious. Jesus died on the cross for you. The Scripture says very clearly that He paid a high price for you. God gave His everything for you. And out of that, allow your servanthood, allow what God's called you to do to be a reality. We have a task to do, all of us together. And I don't stand here because I can do it. God wants us to do it together. And I want to encourage you, I think first on God's agenda is to pray. I hope you're having a prayer time, that you're praying to the Lord, talking to Him, hearing from Him. And out of that, we start to do what God calls us to do. Let's not get so busy with the world and what the world calls us to do. I know we need to work and we need to plan, but set time aside to hear what the Spirit of God is actually saying to us. The eternal rewards are incredible, because we're going to be in eternity together, but what we do on this side, on earth, is going to determine what we get as a reward on that side. And if you say to me, well, I'm not in for the reward, I'm just here to serve God, that is wonderful. But we are in for the reward, because we've got to serve the Lord with faithfulness, and He wants to reward our faithfulness. I'm actually preaching to the converted here, but I just want to encourage you as we serve the Lord. Remain humble before Him. Don't get into a place of pride. And let Him continue to draw us closer to Him. Anyone else got something from the Lord at this time? Arthur?
Thanks, Mark. So, all these things that have been said and the encouragement to go to the next level that Mark's encouraged us from the letter of the Lord, the Lord is saying that respond out of a desire to do it as opposed to being coerced into doing it. Don't do it because you've been told to or because of any other thing, of being fear of the end times or whatever. Do it because we respond to the love that we received from Jesus in the first place.
So I'm not going to keep you, but if you want to respond to the Lord and you want to respond that we can actually pray for you, I want to ask, would you come to the front? And the others, if you need to be going on do family business, and that's fine. But if you want to respond to the Lord today and you'd like us to pray for you, I want to ask you to come to the front. And we'd like to pray with you. If that's you today, and you want like us to pray for the leaders to pray for you, please come to the front. I'm going to call my children to come to the front because I like to pray with you. Andrew and Kayla, will you please come to the front? I'd like to pray with you. All the youth. Craig wants all the youth to come. Please. Amen. Anyone else that'd like to respond to the Lord? Can the parents of the youth please come and stand around the young people? Please. Especially your children. Come stand in a straight line, guys, please. Just let's face the front, the side. Thank you. Come, guys. And anyone who'd like to pray, the leaders, come and pray. Sharon, come and pray with the young people, please. Ursula, Fuck, come and pray here. The leaders can just come around and pray for families here, please. Christian Bueller, come and pray, please. Norman, come and pray. Come and pray with the folk here. Donovan, come and pray, please. Johan, come pray. Come and Caroline, come pray. Come pray with the people in the front here, please. Thank you. Thank you. Myrna, come pray, please. Bob, come pray for the folk here, please. Come. Mel, come pray. Let's just trust for God's outpouring. Thank you, Lord. Just extend your hearts and your towards these folk, Lord. Thank you. Come, Renette, come pray for your children, please. Come. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Come, Vincent, come pray with the folk. Thank you, Lord. Brad, why are you sitting in the back there? Come pray. Come pray with the folk, please.
Now I know that I am.
worship you until the very end.
To pray, but we're going to be meeting up there if you want to go have some tea and coffee with us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's presence has been great here today. Thank you.